Pastor Ray Bentley on the extended reach of God's amazing grace.
No human being has gone so low that the love of God cannot go down deeper still. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. As bad as it is, as far as you may have gone, as much as you may have blown it, you are not beyond the reach of God.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. One good look at the news will show how man is capable of doing some pretty horrendous things. And that's only the things that were discovered. The heart is deceitfully wicked. But God's grace is decisively willing to welcome those who come to Him with hearts of repentance and humility.
Mark chapter 10, we're going to go through verses 17 through 31. The title of the message is All Things Possible with God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There is no one tonight that is beyond His reach or His presence or His power or His grace or His glory. And even more than that, God has the nature, the character and the capacity. The biggest question, and here's where I think we often falter is, I know that God is good, and I know that God is loving, and I know that God can, and I know that He's all-powerful, and I know that He's good, but is it His will to do it for me? And that's where we wait, and we hesitate, and we wonder, and yes, the man that said, Lord, he says, do you believe I can heal you? Yes, if you are willing. And the Lord's response was, I am willing. So whatever it is that you are wondering about, God, your Father, wants to do for you. He not only has the power, He knows not only has the ability, He not only has the capacity, but He wants to. He's willing to do it. Isn't that good to know? Okay, Mark chapter 10. We meet a young man beginning in verse 17. The rich young ruler, as he is called. It says in verse 17, now as he was going out on the road, now listen to this, one, and this would be the young man, came running to Jesus. Here's a young man. So I speak to those who are young tonight and to those who are young at heart tonight, running to Jesus. And then he not only ran to Jesus, which, you know, if you're trying to be cool, or appear spiritual, even there's other scribes, Pharisees, rabbis, religious leaders, let alone the miracle worker prophet Jesus and his disciples. He lets all that fly. He runs. And not only does he run, he kneels. He humbles himself. That's pretty cool. He knelt before Jesus and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? All right. If you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? Great question. Not only did he run to the Lord, whenever you run to Jesus, you're running in the right direction. Whenever you kneel before Jesus, you're in the right position. And whenever you ask, what may I do to inherit eternal life? You're asking the right question. And so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Then he says, no one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Don't you want to be this guy in the story? I ran to Jesus. I knelt before him. I asked the right question. And then Jesus fell in love with me. That's a pretty cool thing. But then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This man's riches were what was keeping him from following Jesus. What is it in your life tonight that is keeping you not only from following, but trusting in Jesus? Do you know that the Lord loves you so much every single day? Do you remember in the Old Testament when God dropped a bread from heaven called manna? He said, trust me. He wanted them to trust him. He said, look, there's a couple of million of you, men, women, children, little, you know, babies, and the only one you have to trust in is me. You're in the desert. And I promise you, every morning, manna, fresh bread, will fall, and you just go collect it. And you know that God said, now, I'm going to be here every day. I'm watching over you. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. So you can even see me. He goes, trust me. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. Don't hoard up a bunch of food like, okay, I know he's gave bread today, but maybe the manna won't be there tomorrow. And so they hoard up extra. Is it not true that if you load up your pantry with more bread than you can eat in a week, some of it's going to turn green and spoil? You have more than you need. God was saying, look, I'm going to show up. Trust me. Let me tell you this. As a child of God, God loves you so much, he's going to give you bread every day. He's going to give you what you need day by day. Learn to live one day at a time, especially in crazy times. And you and I have been privileged to be able to live in crazy times. Don't worry about the future, and don't worry about tomorrow. God's already there. And therefore, and you know what? Let me also say this, and this is kind of a word from the Lord for you. Not only is he going to provide you daily bread, but God directs us and guides us by where he puts the bread. And sometimes we don't pay attention. He doesn't just leave breadcrumbs. Sometimes he leaves a whole loaf of bread. Follow the bread. Would you write that down? Follow the bread. God's leading and guiding, and there's so many people that over-spiritualize things. I see the bread over there, but I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. Is there any bread over there? No. But that's where I want to go. Okay, go there, and you go there. Well, there's no bread here. He goes, I know, because I put the bread over there, because I want you to go that way. And we are like little children holding little tantrums. I keep walking this way and there's no bread. And God is saying, I gave you bread, but the bread's over there. Would you please walk where the bread is? It's a giant loaf of bread. God leads us and God guides us and he provides for us. And he gives you breadcrumbs, if not a loaf of bread, to show you which way to go. Now, it is interesting. Jesus is saying to this young man, pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. And sell everything that you have. Now, Jesus didn't say that to every person that he met. He said it to this one young man because that's what he needed. And what he was saying was, you have allowed things to be the center of your heart. I want to be the center of your heart. So get rid of all the things that are blocking you from following me. Put me in the center and then follow. And let's go. What is keeping you from totally trusting in Jesus tonight? Is it a job? Is it a relationship? It is some ambition. I gotta have this. Some goal. Whatever it may be. So many people think that's all I need to be happy is some great possessions. Here is a young man who had the possessions and he was sad because he had them without the Lord in the center of his life. Now, there are some commentators that say, well, this young man blew it, and he walked away, and he left, and that's it, and it's over. It doesn't say that. He walked away sad. And I believe that we don't know ultimately what happened with this young man. In fact, there are some that say they know who the young man is, and they feel like he shows up later in the book of Acts somewhere in the church, and that may be. But I think more importantly is we don't know. We don't know if eventually he went, look, all the possessions of the world are just making me crazy. Okay, I'm giving them up. I'm going to follow Jesus. Or if he remained in his depression and sadness and continued following on in that direction. By the way, depression is a sign that something other than the Lord is in the center of your heart and life. Because if you have the Lord as in the center of your heart and life, you have everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. But if you replace the Lord Jesus with anything else, You're going to be disappointed. Even if you're rich, even if you have more than you can handle, you will be depressed. They're writing so many things now about the people going crazy because of depression. They need the Lord. The answer is Jesus. Amen? Okay, so look with me in verse 23. It says, "And then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples." So after that interesting little scene, he says to the disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. Now, why were they astonished? Because they were raised to think and to believe that those who were wealthy and those who were prosperous had been blessed by God. And so now Jesus turns around and he says, it's not necessarily. It is. God does give and he does bless and he can prosper. He did to Abraham and many others, but it's not the only sign and it certainly is not to be the center of your life. So then he says, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished. Now they were already astonished, but now their little mouths are all open, saying among themselves, here's what they were brought to. Well, then who can be saved? Does anybody find that strange? If rich people can't be saved, how can anybody be saved? Does anybody find that a little odd? But you have to understand what in their training and understanding and upbringing is, if you follow God, God will bless you. Okay, I follow that. And he prospers you. Okay, so rich people, obviously, are blessed of God. Well, yes, maybe, but not necessarily. What is at the center of their hearts and lives? And so when Jesus said this, it's harder for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. They said, well, who can then be saved? As I put here in your notes, money is a marvelous servant, but it's a horrible master. I believe that in the days to come, there are some who are listening to this message, who are here or listening in to this message right now. As you remove anything, any obstacle, whatever it is, and you put the Lord at the center of your life, and you begin following the bread that he supplies day by day, he's not only going to supply your daily bread, but he's going to lead you and to bless you and even to prosper you. But because you have not made riches the center of your life, God will entrust to you. Do you notice this? You trust him. He starts trusting you. That's called relationship. And those whom God blessed in the past with riches that he trusted, like Abraham, were not those who just hoarded for themselves, but were men who had God at the center of their hearts and lives, and therefore wanted to bless those who walked with them. I will bless those who bless you, Abraham. There were 318 men that surrounded Abraham, and every one of them he treated righteously and fairly like a son. And he blessed them. And they were like, I'm staying with Abraham. God is with this guy. He is blessing this guy. And Abraham is blessing me. And God is blessing me through him. Some of you will be blessed of God. God, as you trust in him and put him at the center of your life, you are going to find that God will begin leading and guiding you. Even through this weird, sketchy economic time, he's going to lead you to golden opportunities. You will be, they'll be falling on the right and falling on the left, and it's like everywhere you walk is blessed of God. Don't forget that it's because you are trusting in the Lord that God is now entrusting it to you. Not so that you can go, wow, cool, look at me, I'm saved, but so that you can help others. God needs right now in this hour sons of Abraham and daughters of Sarah, whom he can entrust with the wealth and the riches of his kingdom, that will use it for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may I add that we are also now currently living in the days when those who have put resources and riches at the center of their heart and not him, he's going to start taking it away from them. And in everything they had overnight, it's gone. He'll take it away from them because he no longer wants to bless that or entrust it to them. Now, it is very important, and I put this in your notes, money itself is not evil. Would you look at that, and then would you say that out loud with me? Money itself is not evil. In fact, wealth can be used in many wonderful ways for the advancement of the kingdom of God. What the Bible says is the love of money is often the stumbling block in a person's heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Paul was discipling his little mentoring his young son, Timothy. Let's read this scripture out loud together. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, to emphasize this teaching, Jesus uses an illustration that is shocking. Camel going through the eye of the needle. Now, there are many who then would say, well, in the Middle East, and by the way, this is true, you have a wall, you have a compound, you have a house or something, and you put a wall there or a house, and all of it, they'll have a really small door. And the idea is that even if you're little or young or short, you still kind of, you know, you have to strip everything off and then go through the little door to get in. And so they go, that's the eye of the needle. Now, while that is true, that there are many smaller doors like that, and it had a practical purpose that nobody with a horse or camel could come running through your open gate and rob you blind with a bunch of thieves and robbers. But I don't believe that's what Jesus meant here. In fact, I think he meant the eye of a needle. And the reason for that is the parallel passage of this very same story is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, verse 25. Now let's read Luke 18, 25 out loud together. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The Greek word that Luke uses, by the way, anybody remember what Luke's profession was? He was a doctor. The Greek word that Luke uses here in Luke 18:25 for needle can only mean a sewing needle or a surgical needle. In other words, Jesus wasn't saying, look, salvation is really hard and really tough. You kind of got to, you know, strip everything off and kind of bend and get through, but eventually you can make it. No, he was literally saying that it's impossible on our own or our own good works to get saved as much as putting a camel through a sewing needle. It's impossible. The point was, can't be done. And so that's why they said, who then can be saved? And that sets up Jesus' answer in verse 27. I love it. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is, did he say hard? No, he said it is what? Impossible. With men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. As bad as it is, as far as you may have gone, as much as you may have blown it, you are not beyond the reach of God. No human being has gone so low that the love of God cannot go down deeper still. God will save to the uttermost those who call on his name. It doesn't matter where you've gone, what you've done. And that's the lie of the enemy is, oh, you've gone too far. It's over with for you. And then he brings that depression. He tempts you to go out into the world of craziness. And then once you do it, he turns around and blames you, mocks you, laughs at you, stands back and goes, you're going to burn in hell with me forever. But he is, what does the Bible say that he is? He is a liar. God tells the truth. The devil is a liar. He is, in fact, the father of lies. The truth is, there is no man or no woman who has gone down so low that the love of God is not deeper still. That's why Jesus, when he died on the cross, he went deeper than any human sin, any human depravity, anything that this world could throw. He went deeper still. That's the power. You have no idea. The depth of the love of God can go deeper than all 7 billion people on this planet and higher than all of them, wider and broader than all of them. God's love is big enough to save anybody. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord can be saved. Isn't that good, cool, good news? So we need to love and share with everyone. Okay, verses 28 through 31, and we'll close. Then Peter began to say to him, well, Lord, okay, see, we have left everything and followed you. He's saying, we did that. We gave up our homes, we gave up our careers, we gave up our everything that we have. In verse 29, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. These disciples, seeing, believing Jesus, receiving Yeshua as the Messiah, had caused them to lose all their inheritance, all their homes, all their lands. It may have cost the Apostle Paul his wife. I say that because he was a Pharisee, and to be a Pharisee, you had to be married. And we never hear of his wife, which is rather odd. And therefore, there are some that say that Paul's wife left him and abandoned him when he became a believer in Jesus. But Jesus says that no man or woman who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands will not receive them a hundredfold in this life as well as eternal life to come. We have, listen, a new family. Okay, everybody take a moment and look around at all. Look at all these wild and crazy people. Those are your, whether you like it or not, they are your brothers and sisters. And you are theirs. We have millions of brothers and sisters and moms and dads and aunts and uncles. We have a huge family from every nation, every kindred, every tribe and every tongue and every color around the world. And you know what they say, that the way the population has grown, you know, where we are now? Do you know what they say? They say that half of all Christians who have ever lived are in heaven, and the other half are alive today among the 7 billion on this planet. Isn't that odd? Half are in heaven, half are on earth. We got a lot of brothers and sisters here because God is good. All the time. That he is.
Pastor Ray Bentley. With great encouragement today from our studies in the Gospel of Mark here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, you can hear today's message again on CD. It's a study called All Things Possible with God. And we can send it to you for just $7. So contact us and mention the title, All Things Possible with God. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Mark on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the Gospel of Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.